Now, not to offend anybody here, but is there anything more beautiful than this? Thank you. Look at that pet on. Okay, I'm... What? That's duct tape? Oh! Leave it to me to... Okay. All right. Maybe will the mouse work to advance slides? Or okay, I'll just be gentle. I'm for some reason the one of our project team who's lucky enough to tell you about this very exciting new experiment that we've got going on that will utilize neon infrastructure from samples to data. The title of our project is here for you. Bunch of great collaborators here who will save me from any difficult questions which should come from you, the audience, at the close. Before I go any further, I'd like to say that my opportunity to talk about this is due to the support of NSF, Macrosystems Biology, of course, NEON, the International Soil Carbon Network, which I coordinate, an arm of that, which is the Radiocarbon Collaborative, a relationship between CAMS at Lawrence Livermore and the Northern Research Station, and some photo credits for a handful of the images in this presentation. Well, there have been some great papers in recent years on a review of historic and summarization of the current paradigm of soil organic matter stabilization. Those of us who have begun to collaborate on this project decided that among these great questions posed, it's necessary for some people to get down in the dirt and collect samples and analyze data and test some of these great concepts, such as the role of physical and organo-mineral protection mechanisms, to take a serious look at the role of the chemistry of carbon inputs to soil in the stabilization of soil organic matter. Microbial functional groups, maybe not functional groups, individual species or different levels of classification, these gatekeepers of stabilization or destabilization. And looking beyond just stabilization as the process of interest, what about vulnerability? Can we put a number to it? Can we identify situations where it's likely and what it looks like in terms of carbon loss? Our project team came up with a conceptual framework that does draw upon a lot of things that many people will recognize. We argue that soil organic matter stabilization in a given soil body can be attributed to some degree to very proximal controls, molecular scale interactions between mineral surfaces and organic molecules, textural properties of the soil, or very distal controls, climate change, things that act from above in a very overarching way to affect the stability of the soil organic matter. And at all levels of the spatial spectrum in between. Our conceptual model does define some mechanisms that are well described in recent publications. Marcus Kleber, Michael Schmidt, some very good work has been done recently. A core part of our conceptual model is it's rather easy to identify controls on SOM stability at extreme climates. If the soil's frozen or extremely dry, those direct influences of the distal factors such as climate are quite strong, but that most of the ecosystems within our country and within the world are at some temperate middle ground between these extremes. And in these temperate conditions, the proximal controls, the physical and chemical parameters of the soil, the phenology of relationships between vegetation and microbes, these sorts of things are likely to be more important in terms of influencing soil organic matter stabilization. We saw an opportunity to utilize the resources of NEON as a mechanism, as a means to asking some science questions about these mechanisms of soil organic matter stabilization. NEON sites, which span 11 of the 12 USDA soil orders. Sensor deployment, soil sensors, have been planned to result in the extraction of cores 1 to 2 meters, depending on the order of soil, deeper for permafrost, gentle. But there were no plans to do anything with these cores. They were just soil that's in the way of sensors, which need to be put in the ground. And in a proposal in the 2013 solicitation to the macro systems biology, we articulated a plan to obtain these cores, actually some of these cores from 40 sites, and to subject this material, this soil material, to a battery of physical and chemical analysis. A very important part of our proposal was to run, radiocarbon analysis on 480 samples, both bulk soils and fractions, through the Radiocarbon Collaborative, which is a very cost-effective way to run radiocarbon samples. How we propose to do this, we divided our approach into three major components or phases, overlapping to some degree. The first component will be to characterize the chemical, physical properties of these soil cores, and these chemical and physical parameters as predictor variables, essentially, drivers, if you will, and also make some measures of soil organic matter amount and stability, radiocarbon signature being one of them. This is essentially an observational approach. We have a range of soils from different places with different characteristics. Let's measure a bunch of things that any reasonable soil scientist would choose to measure and investigate the relationships between drivers and measures of SOM stability. To follow this up with an experimental component to look at vulnerability, we plan a large incubation experiment, a long-term incubation experiment, with different soil moisture and temperature treatments, and also some strategic comparisons of land use and management within NEON sites. And lastly, a very large component, and that which forms my greatest involvement in this project, the integration of these data and their analysis. It was, of course, very important with a large project team with many different roles to define at the outset the roles that each of us are to play. Notice, of course, I am not there. I'm essentially the loudmouth and data person. But we have some great expertise on the team. This was Mike's idea, Mike San Clement's idea in the first place, that we should do something with this soil material. And he interfaces with NEON to obtain and ship the soil material to Oregon State, where Jeff Hatton will work with a number of different labs to do a battery of chemical and physical analyses. We plan to move soils from Oregon State to Brian Strom at Virginia Tech for density fractionation incubations. Actually, correction there, I believe that much of the density fractionation will be done through the Radiocarbon Collaborative. At any rate, we have a roadmap to our processing of these samples ultimately into science results. How we approach this, hopefully some of you are concerned that I've been talking about cores. You know, what can you do with a core exactly? Well, a geoprobe, hydraulic sampling unit, sampling to 1 or 2 meters with a polycarbonate liner will result in intact cores that will be ultimately separated by genetic horizon. We looked at the diversity of different soils available for this project and have decided, these are examples, this might be an alpha sol here, but in some cases we'll be looking at our alluvial bees will be a spodic horizon or a candic in an alpha sol. But at any rate, 10 of these cores taken per site, for our project we would like to use 5. The other 5 will be held in reserve for other uses. And we'll composite 5 cores from each site, zeroing in on 3 horizons of greatest interest and broadest inference. Of course, the topsoil A, the uppermost alluvial B, and then the weathered parent material, the BC. These 3 genetic horizons will be density fractionated, light fraction, occluded light fraction, maybe, and dense fraction will be our approach for separating these intact profiles into the horizons that tell us things about how the soil works. Our analytical methods for the first phase, the assessment of stabilization and its controls. Of course, I won't say all of these words, but they're the things that probably this room would arrive at in a list. It's everything from particle size distribution and color and bulk density, on up to dissolutions for iron and aluminum concentrations, X-ray diffraction for clay mineralogy. Density fractionated horizons, we'll look at 14 carbon signatures as a means of establishing mean residence time. Cuprous oxidation and GCMS for a biomarker analysis, look at the proportion of soil organic matter pools derived from different input types, microbial residues versus cutin from leaf waxes or even root markers as well. And ultimately, incorporate all of these predictor and response variables into a multivariate analysis framework to look for relationships. Oh boy, okay. Experimental methods, this is the incubation I was telling you about. Year-long incubation, we've zoomed in on 31 sites. We'll look at 8 horizons. The incubation, the last bullet point here, is to point out incubation. The lability of carbon stock during incubation is an independent estimate of stability. So not only do we get to make some experimental comparisons of soil, common soils under different climate treatments and management types, we also get an additional measure of stability. Data analysis, as I mentioned, multivariate, we'll use correspondence analysis to determine what are the overarching drivers that control the stocks and residence time of SOM. Predictor variables are not only those measurements which we'll make on the soils themselves, but data that come from NEON and from people who are working with NEON sites, vegetation inputs and composition. For the vulnerability component, I was, of course, desiring to use meta-analysis, but we'll probably use an ANOVA to look at temperature and moisture and management effects on SOM stability. Of course, with a data set like this, there's a lot of room for pattern recognition, you know, storytelling, essentially using good data. It's not all just p-values. We expect to find some relationships that in extreme climates, as I mentioned, climate has a direct influence on the stability of SOM, but in the temperate zone, factors like the mineralogy of the clay. Here's a lamellic haplorthod from my field site showing some locations down there at depth in the EBT horizon where there are likely some interesting interactions going on between organic matter and clay minerals. Of course, we also expect that the climate manipulations of our incubation experiment will show that climate is an important driver of SOM stability, but that physical and chemical characteristics of the soil have an overriding influence on top of climate. We think that pyrogenic organic matter is vulnerable, and especially when the soil climate is more favorable to decomposition. And one thing that we would really like to do with this study is to solicit the involvement of anyone who's interested in utilizing some of the soil material, some of the data that we generate, conducting add-on studies. I'm eager to add samples from my own research to some of these analyses and perhaps fit the research that I do within this continental scale framework that NEON establishes. So just to point out that we want to share and want people to work on this project with us. So talk to us and let's determine together how people can utilize what NEON is becoming to do bigger science. And are there any questions? Coffee time. Yeah. There are a number of NEON domains where there are closely situated sites in which the soil classification is quite similar, but there's tillage at one location and pasture at another and native soil at another. Or we have harvested and non-harvested forest soils, for instance. So we can compare the mean residence times, soil organic matter stocks, assuming or even testing our assumption that those soils are otherwise similar in soil forming factors. Yes?
I think I can really catch what you're saying. You mentioned that you're looking at 40 cores in your study?
40 sites.
40 sites, okay. So how do you relate that to like the continental top, that's the scale, like the 40 sites?
Well, those four. We inherit the site design process of NEON and work within that framework, which spans 11 of 12 soil orders and a variety of climates. We don't know the degree to which those sites represent the country, but they are places largely with long-term data and some ability to represent the domains within which they are situated. If I may, yes, in the back.
Is there any plan
as with the International Soil Carbon Network, NEON, we eagerly solicit the attention of modelers to utilize the data that we will generate. As I mentioned at the beginning, the conceptual model is well defined. What's needed is locations on Earth where measurements can be made to test the current paradigm. But no one on our project team is a modeler, so we would be eager to have the involvement of someone with that expertise.
Just to piggyback on that, I feel like this could be a good opportunity for structural ablative modeling.
Agreed. Yeah, there's a lot you can do when you have a lot of numbers. Dan, thank you. Yes.
Any site you've got land use, and conceptually there's a reference site, somewhat natural, there's a developed site. Explain the three.
Okay, yeah, it's not at every site. I think there's five NEON domains, three that are in prairie states and two that are in northern forests, that have that comparison, where there is essentially a reference site and then one or two levels of some sort of management on similar soil.
So it's not across the nation?
That's right. The management insights would be limited to five sites. Yeah. Okay, thank you.